Our text this evening is going to be Psalm 96, but before we turn there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is the message which we have heard from you, and we set our seal to it that it's true, that God, you are light, and in you is no darkness at all. Truly, who is a God like you, O Lord? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders. And Lord, we just read about one of your greatest wonders, the incarnation and birth of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have given to save your people from their sin, whom you have given to bring us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And Father, we pray for your church this evening, not only for Christ Church Omaha, but for everyone who is gathered together in your name in Omaha, in Nebraska, and across our country on this Christmas Eve. We know that Christmas is a time when many backslidden Christians and unbelievers come to the gathering of your people. Therefore, Lord, we pray that your holy word would go forth in the authority, power, and grace of your Holy Spirit, that sinners might repent from their sin and be joined to your holy covenant. We pray that backsliders would see the folly of their ways and return to you and to the gathering of your people, never to forsake the assembly of the saints again. May we all be convicted, encouraged, challenged, and comforted by your word this evening as we remember what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And may we never neglect so great a salvation. We thank you, Father, for your unspeakable gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, our text this evening is Psalm 96. Please turn there with me. These are the words of God. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, and strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Let all the trees of the woods, that then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Ends the reading of God's word. Psalm 96 is what some have labeled an enthronement psalm. It belongs to a group of psalms, specifically Psalm 93 to Psalm 100, that are united by their genre and by their theme. They are praise psalms celebrating God's rule over all of the earth. In 1 Chronicles 16, after the first failed attempt of David to bring the ark into Jerusalem, well, in 1 Chronicles 16, after he successfully brings it into Jerusalem, we learn that they sang at least three psalms. They sang Psalm 105, Psalm 106, and our text this evening, Psalm 96. You'll remember, before Samuel became judge of Israel, the ark had spent time in the hands of the Philistines before being restored to Israel. Well, the ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim until David had it brought to Jerusalem. The psalmist sees the recovery of the ark and its placement in the royal city of Jerusalem as signifying God's sovereign rule over all the nations from Jerusalem. And this produces in them then a glorious praise and joy for the people of God. When the righteous rule, then the people rejoice. Therefore, when the kingship of the Lord is proclaimed, his people respond in worship and in praise and adoration. Well, at Christmas, we celebrate the coming of Jesus, the messianic king, who by his own blood will purchase for himself his own special people, and who set up his kingdom on the earth, who inherits the nations, and every tribe and tongue and nation will bow down before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. And indeed, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so now here we stand, 2,000 years after his birth, as those who have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and are now members of the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate our King. And he rules the world with grace and truth. And he makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. Therefore, Psalm 96, as Matthew Henry writes, ought to fill our hearts with great and high thoughts of the glory of God and the grace of the gospel, and with an entire satisfaction in Christ's sovereign dominion over the nations, over the whole earth, over all of creation, over all things. Well, in verses 1 through 3, we see the command to sing and to proclaim the glory of God. We read again verse 1. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. Three times we read the command. Sing. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all of the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. First off, we have sing a new song. As Henry also writes, an excellent song, the product of new affections clothed with new expressions. When our hearts are raptured up into the love of Christ, we cannot help but sing. Singing should mark the Christian. It should mark the life of the Christian. History throughout the ages has taught us this. The people of God always express their love and their adoration and praise of God through the glorified speech of singing. I remember when I first became a Christian, one major shift in my life was singing. I wasn't good at it. I'm still not good at it. But I remember waking up in the night with a song on my lips. Songs of praise for the wonders of the Lord, for what he has done. Second, he says, sing all of the earth. All the earth is to sing. All the redeemed of the earth. Not the Jews only, but all the earth. Remember, God's plan has always been for the nations. Always. And so all the redeemed of the earth are to sing. The true Israel of God, the redeemed of the earth from every tribe and tongue and nation. And third, we're told here, bless his name. Praise and adoration and exaltation should mark this new song of the redeemed. We're told here as well in verse 2, proclaim the good news of his salvation. Proclaim the good news of his salvation. Proclaim it to those who need to hear it, to those who need the gospel, but proclaim it to one another as well, because it's not just unbelievers that need the gospel. We all need the gospel. Day by day, we need the gospel. We need to be reminded of the forgiveness that is ours in Christ. We need to be reminded of his sovereignty over all things in all of life. Day by day, we need to hear. The gospel isn't something we hear once and then we move on to other things. No, daily we need it. It's the sustaining grace for the redeemed. And we all need daily reminders of this glorious gospel of grace. Which is why he says to do this here in verse 2 as well. To do it day to day. Declare his glory, or proclaim the good news of his salvation from day today. Day to day, we need it. Next, in verse 3, he says, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. Declare his glory. Well, what is the glory of God? I remember R.C. Sproul saying it very simply, and it was very helpful. I remember years ago hearing this. And he said, the glory of God is simply this. It is God's holiness revealed. It is God's holiness made manifest. And so declare his glory. Declare his holiness, his wonders among the people. The works of God. Declare his glory, declare his wonders, all his works. His works in creation, his works in the gospel, his works of providence in your life. Declare these things. Live as Christians who cannot shut up about Jesus Christ. I remember hearing an unbeliever who knew my dad when he first became a Christian, and she said about him, this is years later, and I was a teenager at this time, but she said about him, I hated when he became a Christian. He would not shut up about Jesus. And praise God, 40 years later, he still hasn't shut up about Jesus. Right? Declare his wonders day by day. Be always enraptured with your love for him because of his love and work for you. And what he's done in your life. Remember, we only love him because he first loved us. And so this love that we have and this desire to be enraptured up into this love for him is simply a response to his love for us. And so in verses 4 through 6 then, he gives us the reason we are to sing and proclaim this good news. Again, we read here, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Again, we read first off that we are to do this because the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. This praise is due unto him. It is owed him by nature of who he is. Which is why as we declare who he is, we declare his wonders, we declare his glory, it should instill this drive for us to desire to worship him. Right? That's why David in Psalm 139, I know I've said this more than once, but in Psalm 139, as David is declaring things about God, who he is, we see his omnipresence, we see his omniscience, he's everywhere present, he's all-knowing, and we see his sovereign power there in Psalm 139. And David, as he's meditating upon that, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't attain it, right? He says it's incomprehensible. It's beyond my understanding. But it brings about this praise and worship and adoration for him. Right? And so this praise is due unto him by nature of who he is. Verse 5, and in contrast to that is the gods of the peoples, the gods of the pagan nations. Their gods are just idols, right? As it says in the Psalms, they have mouths, but they can't speak. They have hands, but they can't use them. They have feet, but they can't walk. They have eyes, but they can't see. They're deaf, dumb, and blind. The gods of the peoples are idols. But God, our God, the Lord, he's the one that made the heavens and the earth. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. All that is beautiful, all that is good, all that is glorious comes at the hand of him who created all things. In verse 7, then we see this command to the families of the earth. It says, give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. at the center of your family, at the center of each one of us individually, at the center of our nation, of the whole earth, at the center of your family, so ought to be your praise and worship and adoration unto the Lord. All is to be focused in life to that. It's all about Jesus Christ. We say all of Christ for all of life, right? But all truly means all. All our life is to be for Him. And so our families are for Christ. All of them. And so give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord, once again, the glory due His name. Why? Because it is due unto Him. Remember, when God rebukes, we haven't gotten there yet in our study through the minor prophets, but when God rebukes some of the Jews in the book of Malachi, for those that have sinned against their wives and sinned in how they've raised their children, we read there from Him, from God, one of the purposes of children, right? One of the purposes of marriage is to offer unto God godly children. That's what He says. He desired godly offspring. That's our purpose in building and growing our families. Why? That we would offer them unto the Lord as His children, which God desires, His godly offspring. And so give to the Lord, O families of the earth. Give to the Lord the glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Come in to worship Him. Notice the invitation from the Lord. Come, worship. Come into my presence. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. That this God, that all the earth trembles at His voice. Right, we've talked about this before in Exodus when God speaks to the people of Israel. The mountain shaking, there's thunder and there's lightning and all of this. And God thunders forth His voice. And the people think they're going to die. And they tell Moses, remember, Moses, you go up there, talk to him. Tell God not to talk to us again, lest we die. Right? Now, this Lord was so terrifying when He spoke that it struck fear into the hearts of the people, and they instantly saw, we are sinful. We cannot come into His presence. If He speaks to us again, we'll die. That's their response. And yet now we're told, come into His presence. And we see this in the New Covenant with the way opened up for us, as we looked at even in the book of Hebrews a couple days ago. The way has been opened up for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so now we're told to come in, come into His presence, worship Him, glory in Him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. And finally now in verse 10, we see the declaration of His reign and of His justice. Verse 10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Again, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The Lord, He is King. Christ is Lord. The confession by which every knee will bow and that every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. Not He will be Lord. We don't make Him Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. He reigns. And when we come to Him, all we're doing is submitting to that Lordship, which is already His. The Lord reigns. In verses 11 through 13 now, we see that all creation is to rejoice for His coming. Not only is all creation to rejoice for His first coming, but we also, as we looked at the first 2 weeks of Advent as well, to rejoice for His future coming. Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let all the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Again, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. We see all of creation is to rejoice. Not only people, but all creation. And we read in Romans, all creation groans. The sea shall roar in all of its fullness. The fields will be joyful, all that's in it. The trees of the woods will rejoice and sing forth his praise. All creation looks forward to him. And indeed, verse 13, he is coming. He is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. God is indeed coming. Jesus is coming again. Now, while we believe that the whole earth will be conquered before he comes, we believe the gospel will go forth and all the nations will turn to him. When he comes, he will still come and judge. There will be a final judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes judgment, it says in Hebrews 9:27. And his judgment will be perfect. Perfect in righteousness. All the difficult questions that we may have and wonder about, well, what about this situation and what about this thing? We'll see how God deals with it and we'll think, wow, what a wise God. Wise and just and righteous God. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. And this knowledge, the knowledge of God's judgment of the whole earth, right, in his righteousness, should invoke within us praise and adoration to God for what he's done. And so on Christmas, not only do we celebrate the coming of Jesus, by which he comes into the world to redeem us, his people, from our sin, but we also praise and worship him and celebrate the fact that he is our King. And that as our King, he rules and he reigns now, and he will judge all the earth with righteousness. And we can trust in that and cling to that, and that should cause from our lips to come a new song. Whether we feel like singing or not, sometimes we won't feel like singing. Right? And yet we're commanded to sing still the same. Right? Sing unto the Lord a new song. But as we think on these things, as we think upon Christ, it should bring about within us a new song. In conclusion, I want to read from a hymn called To Christ the Lord. It's not a Christmas hymn, but it's a hymn that a portion of it, at least, I sing to my children every single night. And I'm not a good singer, and I'm not going to sing the song, but I will read it. It says, To Christ the Lord, let every tongue its noblest tribute bring. When he's the subject of the song, who can refuse to sing? Survey the beauties of his face and on his glories dwell. Think of the wonder of his grace and all his triumphs tell. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon his awful brow. His head with radiant glories crowned, his lips with grace overflow. No mortal can compare with him. No mortal with him can compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair that fill the heavenly train. He saw me plunged in deep distress. He fled to my relief. For me he bore the shameful cross and carried all my grief. His hand a thousand blessings pours upon my guilty head. His presence gilds my darkest hours and guards my sleeping bed. To him I owe my life and breath and all the joys I have. He makes me triumph over death and saves me from the grave. To heaven, the place of his abode, he brings my weary feet, shows me the glories of my God, and makes my joy complete. Since from his bounty I receive such proofs of love divine, had I 1,000 hearts to give, Lord, they should all be thine. 1,000 men could not compose a worthy song to bring, yet your love is a melody our hearts can't help but sing. 1,000 men could not compose a worthy song to bring, yet his love is a melody our hearts can't help but sing. Beloved of the Lord, sing to him a new song. Bless his holy name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation day by day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation that is ours in Christ. And we thank you that on this evening, as we remember the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, we remember that he came to redeem us, that he came to die, that he came to take the sin of the whole earth upon himself. And that through that, Lord, you have granted to us redemption. You have purchased us by the blood of your Son, that we may know you and love you and walk with you and praise you all of our days. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that salvation. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to continue to pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.